This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, February 3rd, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll have an interview conducted by Illinois Public Radio's Jenna Dooley with a professor at Western Illinois University. The sociology professor will discuss the current job market and how it relates to layoffs 8 years ago at a Firestone tire company in Decatur. We'll also look at your forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, a look at today's news. The president of the University of Illinois says former Governor Rod Blagojevich never showed much interest in the university and that the two never had a real working relationship. During a live interview on WILL Radio and TV last night, President B. Joseph White says he was surprised and disappointed by Blagojevich's lack of interest in the U of I, but he says he has higher hopes for the new governor, Pat Quinn.
I think Governor Quinn is a high-integrity person. I think he's going to be a team player with the legislative leaders, and we're going to really need that because we haven't had that for years here in Illinois, and there are really tough problems to tackle.
White says the state of Illinois faces a multi-billion-dollar budget shortfall, and that could mean a budget rescission during the current fiscal year and some very tough decisions for the new fiscal year starting July 1st. He says that the rescission is kept to 5% or lower, the U of I can avoid any layoffs or unpaid staff furloughs, but that a 15% rescission would be impossible to handle. The U of I is making plans for a possible budget rescission of up to 10%. White says it will be a couple of months before they know what the state will do. In the meantime, he says he considers layoffs and unpaid furloughs to be a last resort. New Illinois Governor Pat Quinn met yesterday with Chicago Mayor Richard Daley. It was the first time the two have met since Quinn ascended to the state's top office. In a press conference in City Hall, Quinn took a slap at his predecessor, Rod Blagojevich, who rarely met with other elected officials.
I don't believe in erecting fences between folks who are across the street. You know, I'm happy to come back and forth between the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago and the county of Cook. It's right down the hall here. And for that matter, every county and every city.
Quinn says he talked with the mayor about Chicago's Olympic bid and the state's budget problems. Daley and the former governor had a strained relationship. The mayor twice called Blagojevich cuckoo. Governor Quinn will be on Capitol Hill to ensure Illinois gets its share of the proposed emergency economic stimulus package. He plans to meet today with members of the state's congressional delegation, including Senators Dick Durbin and Roland Burris, to discuss the package. He also has a scheduled meeting with U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood and a planned sit-down at the White House with David Axelrod, a senior advisor to President Barack Obama. An $819 billion version of the economic stimulus plan passed the House last week, and the Senate is debating legislation. Durbin's office estimates the Senate version could save or create over 200,000 jobs across Illinois by the end of 2010 and could bring $25 billion in federal funding. 11th District Congressman Debbie Halverson says President Obama should abandon the nomination of former Senator Tom Daschle to be Health and Human Services Secretary. Daschle waited until his nomination to pay back taxes of more than $140,000. Now the freshman Democrat Halverson says Obama has worked too hard to encourage the accountability in government to abandon the idea.
This is a new day. This is an opportunity to change the entire country with the way we do things. And anything that we could do to make the process more open and accountable, absolutely.
Speaking in Normal at a Veterans Forum, Halverson also said she's surprised the Senate confirmed Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner in spite of his own failure to pay some taxes. President Barack Obama will be in Springfield next week to help celebrate the bicentennial of Abraham Lincoln's birth. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin invited Obama a few days after Obama was elected president. Durbin's office issued a statement yesterday that the president has accepted.
It is only appropriate that a president from Illinois, the land of Lincoln, is going back to the city that's meant so much in terms of his announcing his candidacy and his candidate for vice president. I'm sure he's going to get a very warm welcome back in Mr. Lincoln's hometown for this historic occasion.
Obama will attend the Abraham Lincoln Association's annual banquet on February 12th and will speak at a commemoration of Lincoln's 200th birthday. It will be Obama's first visit to Springfield since he was elected president. Each year on Lincoln's birthday, the association hosts a banquet and convention that features renowned Lincoln scholars. It's National Media Tour Round 2 for former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. Sam Hudzik has that story.
When he was boycotting the first few days of his impeachment trial last week, Blagojevich hit up the national TV circuit. He's going back again. Blagojevich today will sit down for at least four interviews. He'll chat with David Letterman and make a return trip to the desk of Larry King. Blagojevich publicist Glenn Selig defends the former governor's decision to focus on national rather than local media.
The allegations spread much beyond Illinois, so he feels like he needs to make sure his message spreads much beyond Illinois as well.
Selig says Blagojevich is trying to clear his name and show America he isn't the person his critics say he is. Meantime, State Senator Matt Murphy says he wishes Blagojevich would just, quote, ride off into the sunset. But the Palatine Republican acknowledges the state Senate no longer holds any power over the former governor. I'm Sam Hudzik.
For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. The Firestone Tire Company announced it would close its Decatur production plant back in 2001, displacing more than 1,200 workers. It was a major blow to the community. Last week, another major employer, Caterpillar, announced it would be cutting jobs at its plants in Decatur, Aurora, and East Peoria. Robert Hieronymus Wendt is a sociology professor at Western Illinois University. He conducted extensive research on those Firestone workers in the months following their layoffs. In an interview with Illinois Public Radio's Jenna Dooley, Hieronymus Wendt says the experience of the Decatur workers provides some insight into the current state of the job market.
When we began this study, the first thing I told the Firestone workers is, I have nothing to offer you. This study cannot help you. You are going to lose your jobs. But if you help me with this study and participate in this study, we may be able to help future displaced workers. And 5 years later, that's where we are. We're seeing massive layoffs, negative job growth, which means payroll declines, which means fewer people paying taxes. The economy's in a shamble. And these jobs are disappearing. And I think that's the message that the Firestone workers would want to share with their fellow workers across this nation. Don't hold out hope. These jobs are disappearing for the long run. And it's time to invest in yourself and retool.
What was that like when you're hearing people, and it's not, oh, you know, necessarily loss of income, I'm having to stretch my dollar further. It's, I'm having nightmares. It's going so far beyond just a smaller paycheck.
As a social scientist, we're supposed to be pretty objective about our research, but a lot of the stories that were told were just shocking. The person who says, for example, my son joined the army because he thought we would not have money for college now. And I'm sitting there as a sociologist recognizing, the Gulf War is coming on and things like that. You just think that a lot of lives are changed beyond the workers, including several people who said, my wife now has to go to work to support the family. And while I'm, feminist in my own orientation, for a lot of these people, they're more traditional and conservative. And so there's an enormous role reversal there where the husband has been earning maybe $50,000-$60,000 a year, and now the wife is supposed to support the family and pay the mortgage. And so there are a lot of these personal stories that are never really caught in the economics research.
For workers that are being laid off in today's economy, what could the people from the Firestone experience, what advice did they have in finding another job that made them happy or a job they were willing to stay in?
If you take a job immediately after losing a good job, in many instances you could sacrifice your options. You could lose the opportunity to go to community college or one of the technical schools that are available. And so while there's this pressure to keep working and keep being a provider, oftentimes that can have a bad effect. These workers were saying, sign up, take advantage of every opportunity, go to the unemployment office, use the system to its full advantage. If you get the one thing we saw again and again was workers saying, if you get the chance for education, take advantage of it. While it may cost you a little bit in the short run, in the long run, you'll be a lot better off.
And with your research, it has a going forward message in policy implications, some suggestions for how local leaders can attack this problem from real life experience of what a major layoff can do to a community. Can you go through some of the policy implications?
Well, there were several. Some of them are more political than other, I suppose. For example, when Decatur Firestone closed down, that removed $50 million from the local economy. Clearly, that's going to have an effect on local businesses, small businesses, and what have you. In fact, I was looking at the data a few months ago, and it's only now that the monthly payrolls and wages have returned to the pre-Firestone level. So there are these economic consequences. One thing I don't think would get much ear, so to speak, in Springfield or in Washington, but I'm a firm believer that if we're giving tax cuts to major corporations at the local level, then they should have to pony up, so to speak. We'll give you tax cuts, but if you abandon our community, we may ask you to pay back some of those local tax breaks that we gave you in order to create jobs in our community. I don't see that as having much political weight, but I think it's a legitimate concern. There's a certain irony in this study. I was working with the local university and lost my job at the same time, and so a lot of this emotion work that I was studying, I subsequently went through myself. When you lose the primary job, it's scary. On the other hand, worker displacement is typically defined as job loss through no fault of your own. It's not your fault. It wasn't that the workers in Firestone's Decatur were the cause of the problem. Just like when Caterpillar lays off, it's not the workers' fault that they're losing their jobs. And so some of these displaced Firestone workers were able to put that in perspective. When it's not your fault, it's almost like the serenity prayer, right? It's out of my control. Help me take care of what I can. And so some were able to put it in perspective and focus on making the most of what they had.
Robert Hieronymus Wendt is a sociology professor at Western Illinois University. He spoke with Illinois Public Radio's Jenna Dooley. His research on the emotional impact of the job losses at the Decatur Firestone plant in 2001 is now being published in several policy journals. In the forecast for today, expect bitterly cold conditions, mostly cloudy, a chance of snow showers, the high around 16, blustery with winds up to 25 miles an hour. Bitterly cold tonight, mostly cloudy, the low around 7, blustery with winds up to 25 and 30 miles per hour. Bitterly cold tomorrow with mostly sunny skies, the high around 17, mostly clear Wednesday evening, the low around 9. Sunny Thursday, the high around 38 degrees, mostly clear Thursday night, the low in the mid-20s, mostly sunny Friday with a high in the mid-40s. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, February 3rd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wil.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.